No, I promise to stay right here. Good morning, folks. Please turn to Psalm 40. I'm going to begin with an apology. I have to leave immediately after speaking with you this morning. I'm sorry I can't stay for the completion of the service. There's an extremely important meeting at my own chapel, which I have to race back for without getting in trouble. So you'll please pardon me if I leave when I'm done speaking, but that is the reason for it. Now, folks, this morning from Psalm 40, I would like to give you an encouragement to praise and worship the Lord, just exactly like we sang a moment ago. But let me ask you something. One of the elders of the church came up to you. You've been here many years. If they came up to you and said, next Sunday, we'd like you to give an encouragement to the people to praise the Lord, what would you do? What would you do if you were asked to do that? You can't get out of it. You can't say, oh, I'm washing my hair or anything else. You got to be there and you got to do it. What would you do? Well, folks, what David does here, he begins by telling us the astounding things that the Lord has done. And listen to what he says. If you have some time this afternoon, I would urge you to read this short psalm. It's absolutely fantastic. And like all of God's word, you'll notice it's worded perfectly. Notice how David describes our salvation, verse 2. He, God, drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. So, folks, if you need any more incentive to praise God, there it is. There is a perfect picture, a word picture, of what God has done in salvation. And notice, it's all on Him. He drew me up. He drew me out. That displays perfectly the action of God to save and to rescue my soul. And that's why I praise Him. But equally well worded, not only is the action of God, but the reason for it. Why did God have to step in? Why wasn't it enough just to go to church and be a nice guy? Why wasn't it enough to be charitable and to be a good neighbor and all the rest? Why did God have to step in and do what the psalmist says here? Because of where I was. He drew me up from where? The pit of destruction. Out of the miry bog. Now you say, you know, this is what I don't like about this Bible stuff. Well, what's this pit of destruction? What's this miry bog? I haven't been there. Oh, yes, you have. You see, this is worded perfectly. You see, what this does is describe our sinful condition. I might say, I've never been in a pit, Andy, and I haven't been stuck in the bog. No. But the reason those illustrations are used is because sin puts us in a place we can't get out of on our own. See, the pit's too deep, and the mud is too thick. It's worded perfectly to describe a condition in which we cannot deliver ourselves. And unless God, in love and grace, steps in, unless He, literally in grace, reaches down and brings me up and brings me out, I'll never be saved. So because He's done that, then my heart overflows with praise to Him. Paul used a very similar language thousands of years later in Ephesians, and he describes the same two things. He describes our condition and what God did. To the Ephesians, he says, we all used to live in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. But God, being rich in mercy for the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, a condition I cannot get out of on my own, what did He do? He made us alive together in Christ. You see, thousands of years later, the same thing. God has stepped in a way that no one else could do. He alone could deliver us from the condition we got into. Now that raises kind of an interesting point. You could take from these scriptures, you could surmise that, well, what salvation is God feeling bad for people. Oh, I've had a series of unfortunate events. Isn't that the book today? I've had hard times. I've had some troubles. Not my fault. I got into some trouble. God really kindly, nicely, he noticed, he got me out. No. Verse 12, the psalmist says this, evils have encompassed me. My iniquities have overtaken me. What's that tell you, folks? It's this. These things, the pit of destruction, the miry bog, it wasn't done to me. It was done by me. I brought this on myself. My iniquities, my sinful desires, I dug my own pit. And I dug so deep, I can't throw the dirt up over my head. It's coming down on me. I dug the hole. I'm in the bog. The mud is of my own making. The pit of my own digging. The destruction is of my own deserving. My iniquities have overtaken me. So God, in infinite compassion and grace, knowing my lost, irreversible condition, grace that knows no measure, he drew me up. He drew me out. That's the wonderful salvation. That's why I praise and worship him. That's why I bless the Lord, oh my soul. I don't just do it because Marty chose the hymn. I'd do it if I was all by myself. He saved me. But you know something? That's not all what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want you to notice from this psalm, please, please hear this. Notice all that God has done. He drew me up from the pit. He drew me out of the miry bog. He next set my feet upon a rock. He next made my steps secure. And finally, notice, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to my God. God did all of that. That's all the work of the God of grace. So you can't claim just part of it, because then you're saying that God didn't do a complete job. See, God did it all. The one who drew me from the pit, he also gave me a song. He who saved us did this. Do you know what that means then, folks? Because God did all of this, it means then that praise and worship, it isn't a meeting. It's not a type of meeting or service. It's way more personal than that. Do you know what praise is? Praise is my response to God's grace. It's my reaction to the miracle that he looked down from heaven and saw my condition and saved me. It's the evidence that I've been saved. That's what praise is. It isn't a meeting. It isn't a type of song. It's the reaction of a soul to the salvation of God. And do you know something? You'll appreciate this. You don't have to take my word for it. Look at verses 9 and 10. Notice what David says, and I want you to take great notice for this reason. He says the same thing 5 times, but twice he says it positively, and 3 times he says it negatively. It's the same thing, but he comes at it from different angles. Notice here the positive, verse 9. Here's his response to being out of the pit. I've told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Here's the negative. I haven't restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. Here's the positive. The negative, I've not hidden your deliverance within my heart. The positive, I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. The negative, I've not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Now, why? Why does David do this? Like, folks, you could almost, if you read that over a couple of times, you could get the impression that David's almost scared that his praise wasn't noticed. Like, he's really, really concerned. He states it positively, Lord, you saved me. I praise you. I do bless the Lord, oh my soul. And 3 times, Lord, I didn't hold it in. I don't care if the guy beside me wasn't singing, I was. I made sure I was praising you. And notice what he says in the end of verse 9. As you know, oh Lord. See, folks, the Lord knows who praises him. And the Lord knows who just sings. He knows. But why is David so concerned? For this reason, because praise is the clearest indication of salvation. Do you know that? It isn't a meeting. It isn't a type of service. It's the clearest evidence that my soul is made new. It's the clearest evidence that God has done a miracle in my life. It's the undeniable proof. It's the irrefutable evidence that I'm no longer in the pit. I'm no longer in the bog. Well, how do you know that? Because I praise his name all day long, who's done such wonders for me. The God who drew me up and out put a song in my mouth. Folks, that's why, because I'm one of the old guys, I remember the old hymns. And here's what they say. I have a song I love to sing. Why, Barb? Since I've been redeemed, since God did that miracle in my life, I haven't yet stopped singing his praise. The other hymn I sing, why? Because I can't be silent. His love is the theme of my song. The psalmist said this, I'll sing of your strength, I'll sing aloud of your steadfast love. Oh, my strength, I will sing praise to you. That's not a guy who's nuts. That's not a guy who's off his coffee. This is someone who praises God because of what he has done. But David says five more things that are characteristic of someone who's no longer in the pit. They're no longer in the bog. God has brought them out. David gives characteristics of what that guy looks like. Verse 16, five things he mentions. May all who seek you and rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. Five characteristics of a Christian. The first is that they seek him. Isn't that what the scripture says? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. That's a characteristic of someone who's not in the pit anymore. There's someone who loves the Lord. They seek him. Secondly, they rejoice. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. I say again to you, rejoice. A Christian rejoices in what God has done. And what does the word say? That joy no man can take from you. Can never be removed. Those who are glad. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Is that what happened in your house this morning when you're getting ready? Oh my God, I go to church. Get the kids ready. Oh, they're not ready. They're not dressed. Were you glad at the opportunity to come and bless the Lord? Oh, your soul, was that how you came? The psalmist says next, those who love your salvation. We love him because he first loved us. And then fifthly, and notice it, these say continually, great is the Lord. Continually. You see, folks, if that's what a Christian is, if this is the impact of what God does in the heart, if this is how it happens, then when it comes to having a meeting or a time or a place or an opportunity to do so, this is where we want to be. The psalmist said this, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Here's a little thing for you. If the only time you do this is Sunday morning, then you're missing it. If the only time you're thankful you're a Christian, if the only time you even mention a thought of praise is in this meeting, then folks, you're out and left, you're in left field. The psalmist said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. So let me ask you. David has given a description here of what a Christian is like. Did we just describe you? It's not my list. It's his. Did he just describe you? Does this line up? One man many, many, many years ago said this: the capital crime of God's people is barrenness of praise. The capital crime of God's people is barrenness of praise. Now, there can only be two reasons for that. The first is that you're not actually saved. You're still in the pit. See, if you're unsaved, this is all garbage to you. You don't want to praise the Lord. You have no interest in it. Why? Because you're still there. You're still in your sins. You haven't experienced the wonder of salvation. So the reason for that barrenness is either that you're not in the family of God this morning, or, sadly and amazingly, there's this distorted notion that such a God who's done such wonders and done them at such cost that he shouldn't be praised all your life long. The scriptures teach the Lord knows those that are his. And David says here, you know those who praise you. Now, one last thing. Who is exhorting you to praise this morning? Is it me? Is it your elders? Or are they trying to improve this in the place? Is it David? Folks, it's quite a bit bigger than that. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. The true worshipers of God will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. That's who's exhorting you to praise this morning. The very one who deserves it. Notice, folks, in conclusion, verse 11 and verse 9. In verse 11, David the psalmist says, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Would you want God to do that? Would you want God to say, well, you've had your quota for the week, I'm not going to forgive anything else? Where would that leave you? I'd be dead in my tracks Monday morning. Dead in my tracks Monday morning. You see, if there was a limit with the mercy of God, folks, there isn't a person here who could claim they were a Christian. But David says, you won't restrain your mercy from me. So verse 9, I'm not going to restrain my lips. You're going to continue to be merciful to me, an unworthy sinner. I'm going to continue to praise, to worship, to bless your holy name. I'm going to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Folks, I wish I could stay with you today, and I again apologize very deeply for having to leave. But you have an opportunity to do the very thing we're speaking of this morning. Do you know how great praise is? Never ends. It goes on in heaven for all eternity. For all eternity, God is praised, and people do not tire of it. They don't wish they could get on and do something else. God's presence, the wonder of what he's done, is so incredible that they never tire of singing his praise. You and I aren't quite at that level, but we have opportunity here today to remember, to praise, to worship, to bless the living God. I'd urge you to do so. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Here, this portion, Father, is literally written thousands of years ago, and yet it's word perfect for today, for our hearts, for the needs, the concerns. Is there any way, Father, we could ever thank you enough? Wasn't I in a pit of sin, Father? Wasn't that where you found me? Could I claim anything better than that? I could never get out. I only made it worse. I only dug the hole deeper. I could never get out, and no amount of religion would lift me out, and no amount of good works would ever cover up the bad hole I was in. And you, in grace, indescribable grace, you reached down and pulled me out and pulled me up and made me new. And you put a song I can't stop singing. So, Father, may we take this wonderful opportunity you've given today to uplift, praise, and bless. It doesn't matter if the person beside us isn't singing. It doesn't matter if they don't stand up and pray. What matters is that I do. There were 10 lepers that the Lord Jesus cleansed, weren't there? And only one said thanks. How could the other 9 not be thankful for being rescued from such a disease? Oh, Father, be at work in our hearts this day. We bless and praise and thank you. Thank you for your people here and for this opportunity in Christ's name. Amen.